This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this podcast. If this is the first time you're listening, I am your host and I'm coming to you from Cape Town in South Africa. Gorgeous day in Cape Town, a gorgeous winter's day. We've just had a cold front pass through, and the times between the cold fronts are the best time of the year to be in Cape Town, I can tell you, because everyone says winters suck, but they don't. They're actually pretty cool. Got a decent run in this morning, so I definitely can't complain. Today, we are touching base with a countryman of mine who has been around the sport of triathlon for a few years. His name keeps popping up on the winner's sheets here in South Africa, and I thought it was about time to get him on. I'm talking about Evert Kleinans, and he raced in Kona last year, had a pretty good performance. He wants to go faster, I think, as everyone does who races on the Big Island, but shares some incredible insights on today's podcast, and it is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you are looking for a new set of wheels, I tell you what, you can definitely not go wrong with Wheel Signs. They have got some incredible, incredible wheels pretty much across the board. Got you covered from disc right through to normal sort of road, deep profile the work. So go check them out, okay? And if you've got any questions, I'd suggest hopping on the website and dropping Peter a line. He's always keen to chat wheels, and if you need some help, what's going to be the best combination for you, Peter will definitely help you out. You can click on the link, by the way, below this podcast in the show notes or on the podcast player you're listening to, and it'll take you straight through the website. And as part of the deal, we're sweetening the pot. If you are in the lookout for wheels, they'll give you 10% discount. All you need to do is use the coupon code KONAEDGE, okay? That's KONAEDGE, one word, and they'll give you 10% off whatever you purchase. So go check them out. And price-wise, they are super, super competitive. I mean, the payoff line is all the performance at half the price. So you definitely can't go wrong there. Go check them out. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels if you'd like to find out more. thekonaedge.com/wheels and use Kona Edge at checkout to get 10% off. Well, we head not too far north from where I am now. One of my countrymen, Evert Kleinans, joins us now. Evert, welcome onto the Kona Edge.
Thanks, Brad. Huge honor to be here. Huge fan of the show. And yeah, hopefully I can give some insight to help some other guys going to Kona.
Brilliant. Well, Evert, let's talk a little bit about your triathlon background and how you got into the sport before we talk about the Big Island. How long have you been involved in the sport of triathlon?
I've been doing triathlon now for about 6 years. So it's not a short time, not a particularly long time. My background was actually I did some cross-country running when I was a bit younger. But then, like all South Africans, were rugby mad, played rugby, went to varsity, and never really was active. Then in 2012, someone said to me, you know, let's do an Ironman. And I said, well, it's a long way. I'll do the half. And the idea was just to do the once-off one and then be done with it. Did the half Ironman. At that stage, I literally couldn't swim. Swam like most of the guys, 25 meters. I had to hang on to the lane rope pretty much. And then borrowed a bike, did the first one. And then I came in East London at 5:45. And someone said to me, that's not too bad for a first one. Why don't you give it a proper go? And kind of the bug bit. And since then, you know, you go back to all these races, you do want to do better and better and better. And I had a look at the times of the guys finishing, and I thought, well, I can do that. You kind of just chip away at it. And yeah, and that's basically how it evolved.
It's a big step up doing an Ironman from doing cross-country. I mean, cross-country hurts, but it hurts for a short period of time. Ironman's a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, for me, you know, it almost felt like if you're doing the shorter stuff, for me, it's a lot tougher because you're redlining it the whole way. For me, with an Ironman, it literally feels like, okay, I view it as it's a long bike and it's a long run. So just never stop pedaling and just never stop running. So your heart rate sits a lot lower. So it suits me perfectly. It almost feels like the longer it goes, the better I feel. Also, with the shorter stuff, you make a mistake and you lose two or three places. While with an Ironman, you know, there's enough time. You know, I always say with an Ironman, my mantra is it's pacing, not racing. You know, it's the guy who paces the best. It's not the guy who races it from the gun that seems to do better. So for me, Ironman actually, you know, if you say to me, do 70.3 or do Ironman, I pretty much prefer an Ironman just due to that.
Yeah, absolutely. The intensity is a lot less. And yeah, if you've got that endurance, then it's definitely half the battle won. You mentioned racing cross country as a youngster and playing some rugby. Were you any good at it? Were you pretty good? I'm sure you were.
Yeah, with the cross country, I remember, you know, someone entered me and I did my first race and I actually didn't finish. And I think I was 11 years old. And I didn't finish. It was just like a 2K. And my mom said, well, the line is literally like 200 meters. I said, I'm not going further. I'm done. And I remember they entered me the next race was actually provincial champs. And you're running through trees and I couldn't see where I was going. And, you know, I finished and I went home. And the next day the teacher called me and said, you know, you made the provincial squad. I'm like, well, my second race. And, you know, it kind of from there onwards, I knew, you know, I could run quite comfortably for a long time. And, yeah, kind of that's where it started. With rugby, I was playing in the back line. Yeah, my brother was more the rugby player. I did it and, you know, I enjoyed it. And I placed first team, but I was never really, really good at it. I always tended to do better at individual sports. So, yeah, I mean, endurance, when I was at school, I did 400 hurdles. Just quite a tough event because it's running flat box for 400 meters and going over hurdles. I tended to do well with that as well. And pretty soon I established that, you know, the longer it goes, the better I tend to do. Never made the 100 meter squad, but it was always like fifth or sixth. But when it came to the longer stuff, I just could hold that pace. So, yeah, it was actually, it worked out well.
Well, for anybody who knows anything about the South African sort of running scene and triathlon scene, there's something about South Africans that just love endurance. I mean, we've got some crazy mountain bike races here. I mean, the Epic is one of them. We've got the two largest timed cycling events in the world in South Africa. And then we've got the largest ultramarathon, the Comrades Marathon. So there's obviously something in the water that we're drinking growing up here. You haven't been sucked into any of the longer running races coming from a running background either?
Actually, what I can tell you is, Brad, is I entered the half Ironman, and then before I actually did the race, one of the directors at our company came to me and said, well, do you want to do the Epic? I said, no, I don't want to do the Epic. And they said, well, you know what, we need a partner. Let's enter you, and then you can drop out at some stage. Now, at that stage, I didn't own a mountain bike. I didn't own a road bike. I'd never cycled before. This is pretty much, I'd say, in June of the previous year. And, yeah, so I got an entry for the Epic. And, yeah, a couple of months later, I was riding the race. And, yeah, it was just horrible, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think I've been cycling for 7 months. And I used to do, like, half marathons. And I thought, wow, this is horrible. And I thought, oh, that's fine. I'll be fine for the Epic. And I remember the third day, it was 143 Ks that I had to cycle. My partner since dropped out on the first day. So I was cycling alone. My baby was 6 months old. I'm sitting there on top of a mountain. We've been going over 1,000 meters within the first 20 kilometers, and I'm totally alone. There's groups splintering. I'm alone, and I've never felt so alone. And I'm like, wow, this is what endurance is all about. And I think after that, you know, my mind was just so strong after finishing that Epic because I had to fight every day. So, yeah, I did the Epic. Never again. It's really tough. Yeah, and then obviously Comrades was something I want to do. Just for now, I personally feel I don't want to focus on it too much because I think it takes a lot out of your body. And I think also, you know, building up speed with running, going Comrades is going to set me back a bit. So I said I'll do Comrades once I stop racing the Ironman because I don't want to take out a whole calendar year for, you know, of building on training and pacing and all that. So, yeah, Comrades is a big thing I want to do. maybe just once I've done, and you know, I feel I've done everything in triathlon.
Yeah, Comrades is a beast, and I'm saying that I'm sitting here with a Comrades shirt on, so I'm looking at a few of the medals that I've got, and Comrades does definitely stuff you up, I can tell you that much. It's not good for the body. If you want to be racing on the front end of the field, I definitely wouldn't suggest a Comrades or two. But let's talk about what you want to achieve in the sport. And I mean, you've had some great achievements here in South Africa. You've raced on the big islands. What do you feel there's still left for you in the sport? I mean, before we got on the call, I said to you, you went last year. I said, are you going back? And you said you'd love to go back. I think it's for a lot of people, it's, yeah, we'll do it once, and then they get there and they realize, hang on a sec, this is amazing. I want to keep going back. I'm sure you're in that boat as well. It's definitely not a one and done.
Yeah, I think, Brad, for me personally, you know, a big goal of mine is when I started it, my wife said to me, when do you quit? And I said, I'll quit when I go to Kona. And yeah, I mean, I went to Kona, and now I'm saying to my wife, you know, hang on. I look at my run times and my bike times. I'm like, if I can just get the swim better, I might be good enough for top 20. So I went to Kona with the aim of getting, you know, going below 10. And, you know, obviously in Kona, it's a different beast. And I said, top 50, let's do top 50 and then work from there. I did that. Coming back, I'm like, man, I think I'm good enough for top 20. You know, give me a year or two and maybe, you know, take a crack at that. So definitely I want to go back and prove to myself that, you know, I can swim close to an hour without a wetsuit. And I want to go back and say, okay, first time I rode Kona route, you know, you're kind of like, okay, maybe just take it easy, not go too hard because the run is still coming up. Now I know, okay, what the benchmark is. Now I can push it a bit more. The run I know I can push a bit more. So there's always that little gains that you think you can make. So if I want to, if you ask me what I want to do, I want to go how close I can get to a top 20.
Yeah, but it's amazing. Ironman as an organization takes a lot of flack worldwide for various things, and its cost, and it's not clamping down on drafting. But one thing they've done really good is they suck people in. There's no two ways about it. From a business perspective, in any business, they've got, in my mind, the marketing recipe right. It's exactly that. It's, you do your first one, you think you're just going to tick it off the bucket list, but then you realize, hang on a sec, I can go a bit faster. And because of the age group system, there's always this carrot. It doesn't matter how good you are, everyone chases that carrot. And I think whether you ride at the back of the field and you want to try and go 10 minutes or 20 minutes faster, or if you're in the front end, as you are, there's always that carrot dangling.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic thing about it. I mean, and I think literally just looking at it, you know, the company I work for is, we change the whole culture around it. You know, this year at Bella Bella, for instance, we had over 80 guys taking part. Just because we're changing the culture to more healthy, active lifestyle. And I think that's for a lot of guys, you know. We feel we need to challenge ourselves and you know, we need to get out there. And I think that's good for us. And I mean, it sets a good example for our kids as well. You know, my two daughters, what I say is, if I can keep them busy with sport, they're going to be too tired to get into the wrong stuff. You know, so I'm trying to set that example for them as well. I'm taking them to races. And I think Ironman has done a great job to do that. You know, I hear what the guys are saying about the drafting and saying about the cost. But, you know, you go to a race like PE or Kona, you know, you've got full road closures. You've got, you know, if you don't eat enough, that's your problem. I mean, if they put on a world-class event. So, I mean, I literally go back for the atmosphere. Also go back to see all my friends across the country. So, you know, it's a fantastic, fantastic carnival type of event, you know, where you get to test yourself. So, I mean, I always say as well, my mantra seems to be that, you know, you always want to find out who you are in that tough situations. And everyone finds a different reason and how to get to that. And with an Ironman, you know, you're going to ask yourself some hard questions. But you need to put yourself in that position to find out who you are. You know, are you going ahead? Are you going to quit? You know, what decisions are you going to make when under pressure? And I think that's what Ironman is for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, but let's talk about your training, sort of where you are in Pretoria. I mean, do you have a group that you train with? Do you tend to do your stuff on your own? Have you got a coach? Tell me a little bit about your setup.
Yeah, I've got a coach. Richard Allen Laurie from My Training Day is my coach. We work fantastically well together. Young guy, I specifically chose Richard because he's young, he's passionate about it. So he puts a lot of effort into what I want to do. In Pretoria, the tri scene seems a bit smaller. And also not everyone wants to do a 5-hour ride every weekend. So in terms of training, you know, mostly I swim on my own. I tried squat swimming. Problem being having kids, you know, it gets a bit difficult. They have to kind of, you know, swap things around, swim when I've got time. In terms of cycling, I've got one or two very good friends who are strong guys and it doesn't mind going 150. You'd never really want to cycle alone. Also, I do a huge amount of cycling indoors, purely because I get to sit in a time trial position. Also, you know, riding stuff like Zwift or Tex or, you know, one of the forms. A lot of indoor training, you know, even some of my longer sets, 5 hours, I do indoors just because it gets me to sleep a bit later. I get up, I don't have to worry about traffic. No, I never freewheel too much. You know, I'm in my power zones exactly where I need to be. So making the most of the time I've got. So mostly maybe one friend, otherwise I'm just doing it indoors. And then in terms of running, yeah, that's mostly why I do it alone. The reason why I want to do that is just also I want to run a bit later during the day. And I want to run in the heat. Also, I want to really focus on it. You know, if you're running and you're chatting to someone, I want to visualize how I'm going to feel, how my stride is going to feel, you know, getting the breathing right, relaxing the shoulders, just basically running with technique. Even if you're doing the longer stuff, you know, I tend to train mostly on my own. Yeah, and I just find it works well because mentally, like I said, I visualize how I'm going to feel, what I need to do, and that type of thing.
Brilliant. Yeah, we've had Richard Laurie here on the podcast as well, so I'll link up to the episode that we chatted to Rich, and I train with Kent and Claire down here in Cape Town. So that's the my training day crew, one of the biggest sort of groups here in South Africa. Let's talk about Worlds coming up. I think I'd be remiss to not mention it. In our own backyard, how special is that? 70.3 World Championships in Port Elizabeth, which is one of my favorite places to race, and I'm sure it is yours as well.
Yeah, definitely. I've just got some good memories of PE, you know. And I think for triathlon in South Africa, being a fantastically growing sport, it's tremendous. And I mean, I think it's a huge compliment to Paul Wolf and his team bringing, you know, changing Ironman to a truly international field. And now with Worlds coming up, I think it does a heck of a lot for our sport. Also, you know, I think as South Africans, we don't get enough exposure in terms of racing internationally and testing ourselves against the international guys. But I've got to tell you, Brad, I honestly think that, you know, there's a couple of names I can mention, you know, and say, well, these guys, South African-wise, are right up there, which I think we should look out for over the 70.3 distance. And I don't think we're guys that are just in there to fill the numbers. I actually think there's a couple of guys who can actually really mix it up and you know, go for those top 10, top 5s. So bringing races like this, you know, home soil, is, you know, it's going to be fantastic. Also for the guys who, you know, there has been a lot more slots allocated to South Africans, which I think is great. So a guy that might not normally qualify for, you know, a race who's got to be top 3 or 5 in his age group now get to, you know, guys maybe like 7 or 8 now get to see what the standard is out there. So it changes your perspective. Once you race overseas, you know, you kind of lift your game and say, okay, well, this is what it's all about. And I think that's good for the sport in South Africa because it gets us to train harder and to train smarter and to lift our game, which is great for the younger generation coming through as well.
Yeah, I think you make a very important point there too about traveling and racing. But I think it's changed slightly in Port Elizabeth now with the full being a championship race, being African champs. Prior to that, I think we almost, because we're so far away from the rest of the world, we used to get stuck in our own little bubble. And you might be really good here in South Africa, but as soon as you got on the international stage, it was a bit of a stretch. And I'm in, don't get me wrong, I'm not in those sort of leagues, but I remember I went to Switzerland to race in Zurich in 2014. And I was blown away just by the look and feel of that race from an athlete perspective. In South Africa, I think it's just the culture. There's a lot of the Oaks had played rugby. They're former forwards. I mean, Ollie Le Roux, who's a former Springbok prop forward, and he's famous for eating cheeseburgers. That's his sort of forte. I mean, he's done Ironman in South Africa. But you get to the European races, and I'm sure it feels that way when you get to Kona. It's just racing snakes. I mean, I was by far the biggest dude there. And it opens your eyes, and like you say, it gives you a perspective of what's actually going on out there and the standard of racing elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Kona and it literally, I thought, why, you guys are training the whole day. Everyone's running without their shirts. Everyone looks like Biltong, you know, lean and mean. And I mean, you're just checking these guys running up and down. I mean, you almost get to say, if you haven't done that in the past, you know, I think Mark Allen said it. He says fitness is a feeling. It's not a look. You know, the guys rock up with all the gear and all that. But once the gun goes, that's all out the window. So, yeah, I think once you get to experience that, I think, it's a totally different game. You tend to race the same guys all along and you know kind of who's strong where. Now with Ironman PE, it's kind of you have to prepare for the guys you're racing it with. And it's almost like a teamwork, if you're not going to win, you want one of your friends to win. And we're racing the overseas guys, which is great for us. I mean, like I said, literally, I think it's up the game. A couple of years ago, I think if I'm looking at my Ironman times that I'm doing now, I would have by far won my age group 3 years ago. Now, you almost have to do like a sub 9:20 just to go to Kona. I mean, which is fantastic. I mean, the guys winning now 8:50s, 8:52s. I think last year my age group, a guy went under 9 and was fourth. I mean, that's just tremendous. So you really have to be on top of your game. And I think, like I said, overall it's good for our sport. And we enjoy racing the guys because you never know what you're going to get. Hats off to Paul and his team. And with African Gems being here, I think it does wonders for us in terms of exposure and experience.
Absolutely. And I'm excited because I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are coming out, and there's lots of excitement building. And I try and talk about it as much as I can because I think they're in, particularly the foreigners that are coming into South Africa. It's a hell of a long way to come. There's no two ways about it. Just like for us to go to Kona is far, but I think they're in for an experience of a lifetime. It's a great little town. I think everyone's going to be out. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, and we're a month out. So I think it's going to be an amazing experience.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you, Brad. I might take some stick for this. But I mean, I've been to Kona and I've been to PE, and I can tell you honestly, there's not a big difference in standard. I mean, except for the venue where it is. Kona is one of a kind and the history behind it. But I mean, if you're looking at the standard and the gift packs the guys are getting and the support and the water tables and the organization going behind it, I mean, there's no, I can't say that Kona's better than PE. I mean, for us, we're so blessed to have one of the best organized races right on our doorstep. And I think the European guys and the American guys are going to be blown away by the standard, that PE has to offer. And also it's quite a nice little town, It's on the promenade. There's the casino. There's a lot of restaurants. And, I think I'm going a week in advance. I'm making a little holiday of it. So, I mean, I'm literally going just to see the atmosphere and to see all the guys. And I think the guys are really, really going to enjoy it. And I think come next year's Ironman, you're going to have to enter quite early because the guys are going to come back for this race.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to do amazing things for Ironman South Africa. There's no doubt about it. Eva, talk to me a little bit about the juggling act. I mean, you mentioned work and how the culture at work has changed, everyone getting fit. You married, you've got two young girls as well. How do you do this, compete at the level that you compete at and keep sort of everything together, family life, as a husband's work? It's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, time management is crucial. First of all, I try and involve my family because I sacrifice a lot. If I go to events, I try and make a little holiday out of it. And also when I do long rides, I've got a little thing that, I'll do a long ride and I'll never come home and sound too tired. That's one thing. Even though you're shattered, I'll never tell them I'm too tired because, that's my choice. They want to spend time with you. You make it a priority. So I think if you get that right, family-wise, it works out well. My wife's also a superstar in terms of being forthcoming to help me. So that's a great thing. I mean, then also I think that's the biggest thing about with time is getting a coach to cut out those garbage yardage. And I mean, you have to find something that's right for you. So also in terms of doing indoor training, like I already mentioned, I can't spend times doing a 5-hour ride and then, you're not in the right power zone. So I can do literally like with 3.5 hours, I feel I'm getting a better quality workout than the 5 hours. And also if I'm doing, say, indoor training, you get to sleep a bit late. Your wife also appreciates that. They get up and they go to town and you can then sit in on the indoor trainer. But I try and train when they're either away or early in the mornings while they still sleep. So you try and impact minimally on their time. And I think that's the balance that you need to get right. A lot of times guys will talk about doing 25 hours a week, that type of thing. I don't think you need that. You know, if you're training smart, I'm doing like 18 hours peak week, 18 to 20. And due to being consistent, you know, over years, it's not just the, like I train hard for Ironman, do that, take time off. Because I don't think that that helps it. So I think being able to be have a balanced lifestyle over 5-6 years, you know, actually led to me becoming better. So yes, I don't do 25 hours, but the fact that I'm training nonstop because I don't get injured, I don't get sick, you know, I don't get mental burnout, just because I'm managing my hours better in terms of that. So I think a coach goes a long way in, into you know, an understanding and giving feedback to your coach. And also looking at if you're doing in terms of training, becoming a bit more technical, you don't need to hammer every session. I mean, that's not the idea of it. Is yes, go hard when you need to go hard, but predominantly, you know, it's a lot of easy stuff, especially as full Ironman is the thing you're after. It also helps with the longevity of your career. And like I said, it's a year on year getting better. I mean, the pros have been doing these for years. You can't try to get to their level within 3 or 4 years hammering it because you'll just get injured. You'll just get, and then that sets you back. So I think you do proper planning and you involve having really having a balanced lifestyle and say, okay, hold on, there's more to triathlon than if I really want to get better, I need to get the balance in terms of work, family and training correct.
Absolutely. Yevits, we mentioned the drafting. We touched on it. I mean, there's obviously lots of doping going on, more and more people getting caught. As an age grouper, what frustrates you most about the sport right now? Is it those two things? Is there anything else?
You know what, Brad, to be quite honest, you know, in terms of drafting, I don't really have a problem sitting with that. Being not such a good swimmer, you know, I start predominantly in the middle of the pack. And so once I get on my bike, you know, I'm relatively passing, you know, most of the guys. So I don't really see the drafting unless I'm seeing guys coming from the front. It is an issue. And I think it's unfair because these guys that work really hard, who wants to go to Kona, who trains really hard, sacrifices a hell of a lot. And I mean, there's a lot being said about drafting. And I mean, even at Ironman this year, a guy was sitting on me and I literally turned around and I said to him, listen, you either come past or you fall back. Cause I mean, that's just the way it is. So it is frustrating. Doping obviously is it's a big thing. Why you want to dope for a race, you don't get any financial benefit for, I don't know. You know, if you take the amount of time just training, you don't need to dope. You know, if you have a good nutritional plan, good coaching, you know, you don't need to dope. So yeah, I think the biggest frustration for me, I won't even say it's a frustration. It's just, you know, there are some guys who, you know, they're racing age group, but they're training full time, if I can call it that. I think that's more, you know, guys who they go all over the world. They that's all they do. They train. I don't know where they get the funds for it, but I mean, they train the whole time and then they enter age group and you're like, okay, well, you know, I think that's pretty much the biggest thing. But in general, how I see it is I view it as I have 100% race. So I look at, okay, like, right. On 100% day, what can I swim? On 100% day, what can I bike? What can I run? And then I tend to focus on that. And where I end up is where I end up. Lucky for me, you know, I tend to end up quite well. But I think if you've got that perception, all these other things don't really come into play. So, you know, well, if I stand in the front of the swim or the back of the swim, it doesn't matter. It's a rolling start. So I go out, I swim what I can swim. I bike, I look at my numbers and I bike that. I don't normally see the guys I'm competing against because I'm just focused on what I need to do. And on the run, you know, you see the guys, but, you know, if you're tired, you can tell yourself, go fast if the body's not going to respond. So typically, if you've got that viewpoint, you know, all these other things don't really come into play. You don't really need to worry about it. And also, I think it helps a hell of a lot with the anxiety, you know. So, and that's what I like about the Ironman. It's like, it's a long day. I'm just going to do what I do. And where I end up is where I end up. You know, if you have 100% race of what you can do, not have unrealistic expectations, then that's great. So you get the result. Next year, you think, well, how did I feel on the run? You know, do I think I can improve slightly? Like with Kona arguments, like I always felt like I could run sub 3:05 marathon. And I started with the 3:30. I said, okay, if I run five minutes a day, I'll be at 3:30. I can do that. So I got a 3:20 at Ironman last year. I said, okay, right, now Kona, it's a different beast. Just try and duplicate that time. You're going to be fitter, more focused. Just do 3:20. Got 3:20. I said, okay, right, I can do 3:20 here. I can maybe go for 3:05. Went to Ironman, did 3:04. Now I'm saying, okay, right, next year, how do I feel? What can I improve on? Okay, right, now I'll go for sub-3 or 3 flat. So I think, and that's where the consistency comes in over the years that comes in. So, you know, in terms of coming back to the question, I just focus on the little things and building from that. And then all these other things don't really bother me. You know, if you're a cheater, you're a cheater. You're going to have to live with it.
Yeah, I can tell you what, at 70.3 Worlds this year, I think there's going to be a lot of international athletes who are going to get pinged for drafting. And I tell you why, because the South African technical officials don't take nonsense. I've heard that from a lot of internationals. They cannot get over how hardcore our TOs are. But hey, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for the sport. And I think, yeah, there's going to be some tears, I'm sure, at Ironman Worlds in September.
Definitely. I think the guys, just the one thing with the drafting is just the guys blocking. I mean, so, you know, me coming from behind in terms of guys wanting to go past and then they don't go past. So now you're stuck behind a guy. So you're coming up on them. They think they're going over. Now it looks like you're drafting because you have to break. You can't go over the center line because then you get the DQ. So you're literally shouting, passing, keep left, you know. And I think that's a bit of a frustration. But in general, with the PE routes being rather broad routes, you know, the road surface is quite big. So I don't think it would be a major issue. And I hope the guys, you know, play fair. Paul Wolf and his team doesn't take any chances. So the guys are going to get pinged.
You need to get yourself one of those little bells that you used to have on your bicycle as a kid. Bring, bring, every time you come up behind someone, Will. Just ring
with
it.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a foregone.
I love it. Yeah, but it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time on the Kona Edge today. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time.
Great. Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it.
And that's it for another edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Evert for sharing his story and how he got into the sport. Going to be chatting about his run next week, Thursday. If you make sure you've got it in your diary and you subscribe to the podcast, you'll get it in your inbox without even thinking. So thank you very much to Evert, and thank you very much to the sponsor of this edition of the Kona Edge as well. It was brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for high-performance wheels at half the price, look no further. The website to get to is thekonaedge.com/wheels. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels. And on checkout, if you use the coupon code KONAEDGE, I'll give you 10% off your order. How cool is that? Thank you very much to the guys at Wheel Science. If you want to find out more about them, just scroll back in the podcast feed. I had Peter and Joe Coombe on the podcast just a few days ago talking a little bit about Wheel Science and how it all started. And you definitely won't go wrong. Go check out the wheels. It's thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.